Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is Radio Establishment Dress Life. I'm your host, Levon. It is the 3rd of September. A day I always remember. Was it the 7th or was it the 3rd of September? I think it was the 3rd of September. That's the lyric as it goes. Anyhow, it is Virgo season. Yay us. We will continue to rule as we always do. I just wanted to talk about last week now and bridge into this week. This week we're going to discuss We the People. I hope that you all took time out to, if not listen to it in entirety or view it in its entirety, to take tidbits away from the president's speech the other day about the MAGA Republicans. Now, for me, it was an ode back to Eisenhower's speech as he departed office about the threat of the military-industrial complex to the nation. And that threat has, in my opinion, come to life and come to light. I often said about the first Iraqi war, that was a situation where, if you know anything about munitions, that munitions, pretty much like anything else, has a born-on date, right? Well, you're suggested to use it within X amount of time. If not, you're not sure about the quality of it, if it's going to perform like it's supposed to, or what have you. Well, I always felt that the first invasion of Iraq was just that. It was a, let's see if this works, because we bombed the hell out of Iraq with no mercy and no abatement. It was just bomb, 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 and it really was, in my opinion, one of those situations where it's like, oh, we got this. We don't know if this is going to work. Hey, throw it out the plane. Let's see if it blows up. You know, oh, that worked. Throw it out. You know, just getting rid of it so you can get fresh stock. Whatever the case may be, in a lot of ways, the might of the military contractor has been flexed ever since Eisenhower infamously or famously made that speech. Well, 2 days ago. I think it was Thursday. When Biden did the same about the MAGA Republicans, I felt that same spirit. It was truly a warning to the nation, like, yo, look, we need to not lie to ourselves. This is a problem. We can have a political discourse. We can disagree. We can argue that that's the reason that we have a multi-party system, though we only or tend to only elect folks from two parties. We do have a multi-party system, Bernie Sanders being one of the only independent, one of the few, I'm sorry, independents elected to the nation, to national office, I'm sorry. And, but at the core, you know, when elections are done, it's over. Whatever the people said, it's over. Now, I take exception to that because I think the Electoral College is way outdated and needs to go. But still, that is the law of the land for now, or the procedure of the land for now, so that's how it goes. But be that as it may, when the people have spoken, the people have spoken. You can disagree with their choice, but it is what it is. Do better next time. You know, beat them out. Show their deficiencies. Campaign stronger, harder, whatever. And what are folks whom are bent on, no matter what, if it didn't go their way, it's wrong. I don't care what the people want. It didn't go my way. And since it didn't go my way, the decision, the choice is wrong. And that's what it's about. You know what I'm saying? So him taking the time out to step up to that mic and that podium and say what he said, I thought was a good move. In addition to that, he toted his policies and all the things that have passed and been signed since he took office, whatever, whatever. That was braggadocious. And, you know, every president, well, that's not true because Obama did not do that. And I think he did a piss-poor job in really selling his accomplishments as his accomplishments happened. I thought he was a little too humble, to be honest with you. But most presidents take those victory laps. And, you know, that's what you should do. That's a long road to get anything passed in such a daggone divided nation. So, yeah, you should do that. But anyhow, the other takeaway from it, and this is petty, but it's truthful, y'all better not say a damn thing else about our intro music and how long it. Do you know how long that daggone intro was in that speech? And it just kept going. I'm like, good Lord. I was like, man, my little 2 minutes ain't nothing. But I tell you what, just like we said when I've been asked indirectly or directly, what's up with the music? I'm like, yo, it gives you an opportunity to make those last-minute adjustments before you go live. Because when you go live, it's just on. It's just bop, 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 boom. You don't have time to make those final adjustments. You don't have time to read the last couple of sentences of the article that you want to bring up to make sure you sound like you know what the hell you're talking about. You don't have time to make sure that you get to a quiet space because there was an emergency and you had to run out real quick. You still want to do what you came to do every Saturday morning, which is talk to the peoples. But, you know, you don't want the peoples to know that you're surrounded by 100 other people at the moment, so you're trying to dip off to a quiet space in order for you to do what you need to do. So, you know, that's what it's about. And again, petty, but I needed to throw that little thing in there, you know what I'm saying? Because it's very important. Shouts out to Rodney Smith. As I said last week, Rodney's birthday was 2 days ago. I said we would not be on the air for it, so I wanted to give him this while I was in. But, again, he's still with us, thank God, and I wanted to shout him out again. He's on. He'll come on when he gets an opportunity. Shout out to Camilo. My man Camilo has been on the show a number. I'm going to get to you, Rodney. My man Camilo has been on the show. See what I mean by getting to a quiet space? My man Camilo's been on the show a number of times. He called me this morning. He said, Don Dada. I said, what's up, son? He said, man, I'm in the hospital. I'm like, what? Bro, I had a heart attack. Like, what? So, I'm sorry, he had a stroke. He didn't have that. He had a stroke. And, you know, I'm just grateful that he's still with us as well, you know, lifting him up and his family, helping for a speedy recovery to him. And I told him that I planned on sending him to Texas. I thought it was going to be in November, but I think I'm going to move that up. I think I'm going to move that up to get down there to say what's up to him, you know, put some face-to-face time with him and all that type of stuff. That's what that's about. Go ahead, Rodney. Come on back in, bro. I don't know where you are, but goodness gracious, what you at a carnival or something, bro?
Hey, brother. How are you? Hey, listeners, good morning. Hey, if it's a little noisy, that's because I'm actually in a bus. Bus is, it's like one of those old-fashioned, you know, coach buses. But the
okay.
bottom of the bus is filled with food that was donated
oh.
by the local Amazon food distribution warehouses.
Awesome.
And so we got a busload of food that we are literally driving around the city of Las Vegas, stopping at underpasses, in front of the mission, in front of encampments of homeless people, and just
mm-hmm.
giving out food, water, juices. We even have dog food for their pets.
Oh, wow.
And we have a big shout out to Brian Harris for providing the bus. Also a shout out to one of our Divine Nine, the Kappas and the Kappa League, with the youngsters out here, and I love seeing the youngsters participating. We have candidates who are running for office who are here, showing that they are with the people, and they're not just after the vote, but they are out here really to make a difference. So I'm just going to give you an idea of how many people are here, and they're going to give a little hoop. So for the people on the bus that are donating food today, just give a big boost. If you're on the radio. All right. So this is really a community effort of elected and just everyday people. We have folks running for judge, other elected offices. Hopefully I'll be able to get a couple of them on the show just to share why they're out here and what they're doing. And also I think it's important for us to highlight the people who are really doing the work, not just doing the talk. And I got some folks on here today that are doing the work. I wish you could see them all because, you know, for me, being a somewhat religious person that I don't talk about on the radio, but because it's my birthday month, I'm going to share that. We're doing God's work today. And it could be whatever your God is. We're doing his or her work today. And it is a blessing
that's
to be amongst these
that's
men and women and young people. And that's what I love about it. It's the Catholic that got the young people out here, so we pass it on, so that this type of spirit and effort doesn't die out when those who have a few gray hairs like me leave.
You must be going through a rough part of the city,
in
right?
The background, and
okay. Keep going. You were going through a bad spot. Keep going.
Yeah, hopefully I got out because I just walked to the back of the bus. It's kind of like my little office
yes.
on wheels today. And we're actually going under an underpass right now, so I may die out. But this is some of the places where populations of people stay, and this is where they live. And sometimes we just drive by them, and almost as if they become unpeople. I don't know if you watched The Handmaid's Tale, but they had, like, the unwomen and the unpeople. Well, our homeless population sometimes, as we're driving by, because there's so many of them that we're constantly being hit up, but today we're actually coming to them, and we're hitting them up, trying to give them some of this food that a company like Amazon gets so much of that they literally throw it away. And they call me up and ask me if I could help them distribute it, and because they wanted to get more involved with the community. Big shout out to Sister Jones over at Amazon, their HR person who reached out to me, and to Brian Harris for providing the bus, and all the community folks and the young folks who are riding the bus, giving away food today, hopefully making a difference in somebody's life.
Rodney, you sound like a spry chicken. You sound like a young chicken, boy. You out there just happy. That's what's up, brother.
That's what the work do. That's what that work does for you. It invigorates you, and mostly it enlightens you. You get to see just how blessed you are. When I tell people that there are poor people in America, when you travel, you let them know. Those commercials are great. The movies are fine. But when all is said and done, there are those in this golden, crusted castle of a country that can't even make it day to day without the help of other people. Honestly, none of us can. But these people really need our attention and help, because the situations that fall us into those categories are not, these people were not abducted by aliens. What happened was somebody got sick, or somebody lost a job, or the job just disappeared, right? Someone fell into a pit of addiction. These are all things 100% capable to happen to every single breathing individual on the planet. And so it's not, when you say the other, what you're saying is that you are incapable of having these things happen to you. And it's a state of denial. It's a state of blistering, cold denial. And until we as a nation are able to see that these people didn't intentionally drive their lives into the ground, that there were supporting factors, predatory factors, exploitive factors, discriminatory factors, prejudice, and, you know, just grade A racism. I ain't trying to be funny. Racist acts. All of that culminates into a person deciding that they cannot join the status quo pace of what's happening to you and me and everybody else who decides to stay on the wheel. They fall off the hamster wheel. And we all are like, man, how he fall off the wheel? And they are exhausted and tired and unable to fathom how you still on it or while the wheel exists. When we slow down just long enough to reach out off the wheel onto those who have fallen off, who have not been able to participate in our society the way that we feel people should, then that's when we truly appreciate what we have. Because while you on the wheel, you're so busy getting these things, accumulating these items and places and houses and travel, you don't see these people. They truly become unpeople. All you can see are those who can help you, and you don't see nobody, and those who you want to share your fortune with. Everybody else is what they call collateral. It's just collateral. And so, Brother Rodney, you have me in tears. Because you have no idea how close all of us are to being under that underpass. I mean, if we don't have a support system, if our support system needs support, it is a done deal when you have any type of calamity, a car wreck, a bad car wreck could render an entire family, you know, penniless because nobody can get to work. Just a car wreck. Not to mention if it's bad enough to kill whoever makes the most money. It is horrible to think that you are beyond the underpass, because no one, not the baby, not grandma, no one is truly beyond the underpass, even rich people, if they become, persona non grata. If they become, the money dry up and the people know that you got your money they were ill-gotten gains. And so when you get ready to reach out to your support system and everybody say no, they go into their own version of an underpass. Like, it might not be the actual underpass for them, but it ain't they in ham style mansion they had in the California Hills. They done with that. Mm-hmm. That idea, Lee, that you can't stay on the wheel with y'all, I've lived that reality, Lee. You know, for several years of our broadcast, I was unemployed and unable to see how I was going to get in, hop on the wheel. For those who have done it and fell off, or those who never quite could get on for mental illness reasons, physical deformity reasons, or, you know, just never got the opportunity based on the location, it is so important to come to them and say, hey, no worries, look what we got. We got another day's meal. We got, you don't have to commit desperate crime acts of poverty. What are those? Sleeping in restricted areas. What is that? Stealing food from the grocery store. What is that? Mm-hmm. Borrowing when you know you already owe so much that even if you begin to pay back, you would have to be without whatever income for 2 or 3 months to pay all the people back that you owe.
Right.
Crimes of poverty are when you find yourself washing clothes in water fountains. These are acts that people have to commit, not to mention all the sex acts that you have to commit in order to survive. Thank you. Just know that the food you give is stopping somebody from having to commit a sex act to eat.
Well, shout out to Brian, first off, for providing the transportation. I was going to ask if he would drive, because I'm familiar with his bus, and I wasn't sure if he let the baby out the yard without him actually having to be behind the driver's seat. Additionally, I want to say that the concept of homelessness I've didn't really get until two things happened. First thing, a few years ago, I was in L.A. and I decided to drive by Dodger Stadium. If you've ever driven by Dodger Stadium in L.A., first off, the first thing you get to is a city. And the city is a homeless encampment. And I tell you, it's a city, because there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of homeless people out there in tents. And it blew my entire wig. I was like, yo, I have never seen anything even remotely close to this. Nothing prepared me for that. The second thing, I was pulling security toward the end of last year, beginning of this year, in a number of shelters, and I did not understand how many families were housing, what do they call it, housing, in jeopardy of housing. Or not enough housing.
Housing insecure. Insecure housing insecure.
There you go. That's right. That's it. That's the word I was looking for. Had housing insecurity. And it was a whole lot. A whole lot, man. And then the racism comes in, because I had no idea how many black people were homeless. No freaking idea. And I'm talking young families. Homeless, you know. So yeah, it was definitely a eye-opening experience to and for me all the way around. But I'm glad that Rodney was able to find a partnership, and the folks reached out to partner to actually take and make a positive effect with the resources that, like you said, they would have normally just thrown away. But we have folks in the community who were and are in need of this resource. Food. Everybody needs food. You know, even vegans need food. They don't eat grass all day. That's what my brother calls vegan food, grass. Like, no, dog, it's more than grass. But, yeah, they eat food. You know, y'all got some lima beans up in there. Save me something, Rodney. Save me a couple cans of them beans. I'll do something with it. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, man. Yeah. And look, I'm pretty sure it's a common thing. The box was slightly open, or the can was dented, or a label was ripped off and, three-quarter of the way, so it couldn't be easily identified. UPC code was degraded in such a way that it couldn't be scanned, so now you can't do FIFO, first in, first out, to ensure that the freshness of it, so on and so forth. So, things close to expiration date, things that they bought in bulk thinking that they were going to move, and they didn't move as fast as they thought they were, and they refused to put them on sale any further, because putting them on sale any further meant that they would lose money more versus gain money. They would actually make more money if they just got rid of it and cleared the shelf space versus letting it be. You know, all these reasons are why you get food either on the cheap or people give food away. Not, you know, it's spoiled or anything of that nature. It's not that at all. It's, you know, we bought 10 pallets or something. We had a sale going on. The projection was we would need 12 or 15 pallets. We bought 10 as a medium point. We sold 6. That's not our business. We're not selling that anymore. Like, we just want to get rid of it because it's costing us more to keep it than it would be to actually, you know, just get rid of it. So that's how stuff like that. But I'm happy that this did happen in the midst of your birthday celebration, Rodney, because, you know, it's always a beautiful feeling to be able to give back to folks. And I know that it's just making your heart feel filled up, to be honest with you, as it does us just hearing about it. So congratulations to you, bro. Sister Rosh, and Roddy, jump back in whenever you want. I'll kick you as you come. I know you're out there doing
brother,
the work.
Go ahead. If we bring on his one of the people on the bus, a potential a candidate, to see if they can speak for a few minutes. Did you have room for that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Ryan. So I know you might be able to hear the bus because I'm walking behind the bus right now because we're actually at a location on Bonanza and I believe it's Main Street and it's by an underpass and it is a huge encampment of sisters and brothers who are living off the grid, so to speak, some of what would be called the unpeople. And so what I wanted to do is one of the candidates, she's actually a candidate for judge. And one of the reasons why I wanted to highlight her is because she talked about the things that a judge and the power that a judge has that can actually give some relief to some of these folks being incarcerated and not getting the help that they need. A judge actually has that power. And so I wanted to give her a chance to share what office she's running for, a little bit about who she is and why she's running and why she's out here today. So without any further ado, we have a judicial candidate. She's actually a public defender now, so it's in her nature to help people as best as she can. So Rebecca Sachs, she's going to come on and share a few words with you. Talk speaker.
Hello. This is Rebecca Sachs.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for having me on. I just wanted to say thank you to Rodney Smith for helping to organize this. It's been great to get out in the community and help people. It's going to be really, really hot today. I am running for Las Vegas Justice Court Department 13, and I'm running because I think that it's important to have judges on the bench who understand the challenges that so many people in our community face and who are going to treat people with compassion and dignity and respect. I have been a public defender for the last almost 12 years, and prior to that, I worked at the ACLU of Nevada on prisoner rights issues. I found out at the ACLU that they were shackling pregnant women during childbirth, I, as a result of my reporting, they have now prohibited that practice. So I've been fighting for the people my entire career, and I will continue to take those values with me if elected.
Awesome. So what made you decide to run this cycle?
I decided to run because I appear in justice court almost every single day, and I see opportunities for change, opportunities to do things better. And I think that we just need to have judges who have compassion. And I think that's lacking in a lot of the departments. And so that is what made me decide to run.
Okay. Let me ask this question, Rasha, then you can answer it. How long have you been a public defender?
I have been a public defender since 2011, so almost 12 years.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rasha.
You know, so many young judges come in with that spirit of change, and they meet the gridlock. You understand? They find find the machine that you just got through telling us that you have seen Room for Change. You have seen it. Now, have you formed an alliance of other young judges or other people who are pre-existing due to your work there that can give you the confidence to really think that you can, you know, start the committees and orchestrate the change that you really, really have dedicated your life for this? You know, you understand? Do you have a network?
Yes, absolutely. My good friend Nadia Wood was elected to Justice Court in the primary, so she would be on the bench with me. She and I are already talking about ways that we can improve the court system. There are some other judges as well that I think would be allies to our cause and would be interested in the changes that we see and think need to happen on the bench.
Yes, to see one person, even as much encouragement and as big as your heart sounds, when it comes up against judicial bureaucracy, even if you've been in it, you are unprepared for just how quicksand like it is to get change when you're talking law. But if you have a team, a like-minded network team, you can start these. The same committees that have started a McCarthy-like witch communism, which can be used to start something else, right? Energy reserve and whatever, however it affects your reality, making sure that the people don't get, as in the streets we call it, pencil whipped, making sure that you all are not able to sway through bias. The reality of the, you know, average person on the street. And I really appreciate you for going in and being different. It's easy now to get in, saying, you know, being a conservative, Republican-esque judiciary person. You slide right in. But when you tell the truth that you're coming for change, it can get a little tougher. So I admire your courage.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I think I had a lot of my colleagues from the public defender's office won their races in district court in 2020. And I appear in district court as often as I appear in justice court. And I saw on day one the impact so having those judges on the bench had on my clients' lives. So even, you know, I agree that it needs a coalition change on the bench at large. But I have the power, in my department to make change on any particular person's life that comes in front of me by making the decisions that are made with compassion and understanding and trying to address the underlying issues instead of just incarcerating everybody. I just don't believe we can incarcerate our way out of the problems that we face. And as part of my campaign, I've been meeting a lot of different community organizations, collecting all the resources that are out there. And coming up with ideas and, that I have for if I am elected to propose to people in front of me that will address those issues, whether it is job training, food insecurity, substance abuse, all of that.
Okay. Awesome. Now, the court that the appointment that you're – not the appointment, sorry. The bench that you're running for, which court is that again?
It's a Las Vegas Justice Court, Department 13. So anybody with a Las Vegas address, I will be on the ballot, and I will be the very last, literally the last name on the ballot, because it's the last race. And I will be the last name.
Why are you last? Is it alphabetical order?
Just
or
because Justice Court races are in the very bottom of the ballot.
Gotcha. Well, then you're easy to find.
Yeah, and my department is I'm easy to find. Very, very last
name. There you go. Easy to find. Awesome. And you said your department is what? I'm sorry.
13.
Okay. Awesome. Congratulations and good luck to you, sister.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for agreeing to speak with me. Have a great day.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Well, Brian, just to have an example of that, it's not, you know, we talk about the village and we talk mostly about us regular people, regular citizens, but the village also includes those people that we elect. And we don't elect them just to send them to go and do on their own. We elect them to do for us. But establishing relationships with them before they get elected, bringing them out to events like this. So for some of them, either they've been removed from these conditions all their lives because they were born lucky, right? And then for others,
yes, sir,
maybe they came up in conditions like this and got away from it, and this is a good reminder. So what I guess I'm suggesting to all of our listeners is reach out to your elected officials and even those who are seeking appointed positions, get to know them, and then introduce them to your world, to your life, so that when they're making decisions, they're making decisions from an informed perspective versus being from their ivory towers. And, you know, it's a big shout out to Attorney Sachs for being willing to come out early, because Brian started this at 5 o'clock. I didn't get out at 5 o'clock, just, you know, full disclosure, but he started this at 5 o'clock, and these folks were out here. And I wish you could see the number of young people that are with us today. And
hey,
I keep saying that because all too often we forget about involving the young people with these types of endeavors. And when we involve them with these types of things, we're also teaching it to them. We're showing them the benefit of it. We're letting them know how things could be for them with the blink of an eye. I remember I met a homeless person, and in talking with this homeless person, I found out that he was homeless, not because he wasn't educated, because he had a master's degree. He was actually an architect, but because of health reasons. He spent a bunch of money. He eventually wound up getting fired because of the hospital time, and he lost his place to stay, and he became part of the homeless community. Educated person, proud person, never thought it would happen to him, but it did just through circumstances of life. And I'm saying that to say that sometimes when we make these unpeople, we put them in that unpeople status, we don't recognize what they actually have contributed or the potential of what they can contribute. But if nothing else, we start not looking at them like our fellow brother and sister, like our fellow man. And that's what I'm hoping that we're doing out here today, is to remind them that they are not forgotten, but also to remind ourselves that though life may be good for us now, it doesn't always have to be. And wouldn't it be nice if those who had would just give a little bit of their time to provide for the needs of those who are going through that moment?
You ain't never lied on that.
And when young people, you're going to find young people not just with you on the bus. When they get off the bus and get to looking at these encampments, they're going to find young people. Because one of the first things that happens, Robbie, do you mind muting yourself? One of the first things that happens when young homosexual people come out to their hyper-religious or hyper-masculine parents or grandparents is, oh, you ain't going to do that gay shit up in here, you know, and they have to pack their things and either go to someone's house who is, you know, where the best tolerant is the wrong word, but considerate and empathetic of that, you know, reality, or they have to hit the streets and make themselves, you know, strong and able to withstand life as an homosexual in the streets. Usually they band up with some other group of young homosexuals, and they help each other like a family. So you're going to find
you faded out on us. But I think she was trying to make the point of, you know, again, a support system is extremely necessary as you move through life. And that support system can come in many forms or shapes. You know, right now, Rodney is out being that support system to a whole lot of people who are obviously in need. If they weren't, then they would have a they would be housed. They wouldn't have housing insecurities. They wouldn't have food insecurities. They would be in a much better position in life. That's not the case for a good number of people in this country. That's not the reality for them day in and day out. So the next time you get some oatmeal on your plate, just remember that, and you might not be the biggest fan of oatmeal, just remember that there are a lot of people out here that don't have anything to eat. People don't have any place to sleep. They don't have anything to drink whatsoever, you know. So why you look at me cross-eyed? Because I'm eating wheat bread and turkey bacon. And, you know, again, there's a whole lot of folks out here that don't have any bacon, and they dang sure don't have any bread. So just be grateful for the nourishment that you do have, because, again, you could be on the opposite end of that spectrum. I'm sorry, Lashley. I know we lost you. You came back. I was trying to see where you were going with your point. Thought I did a good enough bridge, but please finish your point.
Tell me the last thing you heard me say.
You were saying that if they could, then obviously they would. And that's all I heard.
What I was saying is that the young people who are helping Mr. Rodney today are going mm-hmm. to see young people. They're going to serve other young people who are out on the street because when they came out as homosexual or as alternative in any way, non-religious, unable to accomplish educational expectations, all that other stuff, the parents were so strict on what they demanded the children do that they decided to pack up and run away. And where do those children be? They either go to some adult's house who is caring and empathetic of what's happening, or they hit the streets. When they hit the streets, they band together with other young groups of people who are experiencing this homelessness as a young person. And they commit desperate acts, thievery, you know, whatever, of clothes and
sex,
food.
Sex acts.
And so you cannot, these children are going to see a lot today. And so once we start accommodating all the rest of society, it almost works as a scared straight tactic, and it's not even 100% the result we want. We want you to know that these people exist, but not to be so afraid of being those people that you're willing to accept any old kind of work, any old kind of wear, from any old kind of body, with any condition. You understand? We don't want mm-hmm. you to exploit other people as much as you can so that you don't end up without enough money to live the life that you feel like you deserve.
Rodney,
no, we don't want there to be homelessness, but I don't want to be mega mansions either. That's a waste of space. If three people live in a 19 bedroom house, that's stupid.
Fifty Cent said something about that. He said he didn't want big houses anymore. He was talking about how when he bought the Tyson Mansion, like, there was places in the house he never even went. And the other side of that is Shaq said the same thing. Shaq has about a 75,000-foot square home or some crap like that, and he was like, I go to three rooms in that whole house: the bathroom, my bedroom, and the kitchen. That's it. There's a basketball court. There's a home theater. There's all kinds. That's all he does. But yeah, I'll never do that again. But he's had the house ever since he signed with the Orlando Magic back in like 92, 93. So that's what it is. But Rodney has some food facts that he wanted to share. Come on, Rodney. Come on back in.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned Shaq, because Shaq has a house in Vegas now. And one of the things that Shaq mm-hmm. did when he got here was right across the street, Lee, from where we have the gathering, or right down the street, there's a library, and right next to that library was some old basketball court. And Shaq gave a donation almost immediately when he got here, and this is in the heart of the black community, to totally refurbish those basketball courts. And those basketball courts didn't have covers. So when the brothers and sisters were out there playing, you know, they're playing straight up in this Vegas 115-degree heat. And Shaq put up shade for them. And he put in bleachers for them. And not the hot bleachers, but the bleachers.
I was about to ask. Goodness gracious.
Yes.
I was just about to ask.
That's what, but that's what he used that wealth to do. And that's some of the things that he's doing out here in Vegas. But I wanted to share with some people, because some people say, well, Rodney, if we do that, we'll make the grocery stores go broke and we'll break the farmers and so forth and so on. So I just wanted to share some basic food facts with you. Here's the first one that I want everybody to recognize. It's about 40% of the food that goes on Americans' plates goes in the garbage. Think about that. 40% of the food on Americans' plate go in the garbage. Right?
I can believe that.
Now, imagine if that 40% went to the hungry. Nobody has to pay any more money for it, right? Just that.
Mm-hmm.
But then here's a even bigger fact. That 30% of the food in the field, in other words, this is food that's grown, 30% of it never leaves the field. So 40% of the food that we do get, we put in the garbage, and 30% of the food that we could have harvested, we don't. And so there is no shortage of food in this country. And here's another one. Americans stockpile food that we give to as foreign aid. There's a hurricane someplace, and there's a flooding someplace, there's an eruption. There's corruption, there's volatility in government. Whatever it is that causes hunger, America has food stuffs set aside. We have so much food stuffs set aside that most years we don't give it all away because we don't have enough places to give it to. And so that food winds up being destroyed or it's wasted.
Mm.
Think about it's estimated. Oh, and here's another one. And this is something that applies to me because my family are farmers back in Carolina. And they pay us not to farm. They pay us
not to farm.
And one of the reasons why they pay us not to farm is because America has so much capacity. And keep in mind that only about 1% of Americans participate in the farming industry. It's about the same number of people who feed us as the number of people who defend us, because it's only about 1% of Americans who serve in the military. So 1% feeds us, and then 1% defends us. And those people
pay
a large service. But look at the amount of capacity that we have. It's estimated that America alone could pretty much feed at least half the world, and some estimates, depending on what you grow and some other things, that we have the capacity to feed the entire world. So there is absolutely no reason for anyone to be hungry in America, and for that matter, in the world, but for sure in areas that we can control, which is America, there is no shortage of food. And just like this particular company was able to share this. Imagine if all of the companies that the grocery store chains opened up their coffers instead of putting them in sealed dumpsters with locks on them so that people can't get them. And I understand it's a liability issue because somebody did go in a dumpster, ate something that was bad, sued, won the suit. So from then on, they started throwing the stuff away and locking it when they're not able to give it away. And so I would encourage everyone. Hold on.
Can't they pass the Good Samaritan law? We have the Good Samaritan law in the state of Maryland saying, like, if you give somebody something and, you know, unfortunately they have an allergic reaction, blah, 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 you can't be sued for that because it was not your intent to harm them. It was your intent to help them. So as the Good Samaritan, you are actually protected if unfortunately something does happen. Can they not pass that law and get away from that?
They do not have that here. As a matter of fact, they have criminal. What we're doing in certain parts of the city are actually, it's a criminal activity to feed and provide water to the hungry in certain parts of Las Vegas is actually illegal. So not only don't we have a good Samaritan
law. Lawbreaker. You lawbreaker.
Yes, I am breaking the law today because I am giving away food that was given to me that would have otherwise gone in the dumpster, gone in the garbage can with a lock on it, and give and distributing that food to those who need it is a criminal act in some places, and I just want to make sure we're clear, in some places in Las Vegas. And so, no, we do not have a good Samaritan law here. They really now I do want to say this. There is some good reason, or can be, because oftentimes people who are hungry or who are homeless, they need other services. So when the city goes out to provide them with food, they can also contact them and try to get those other services to them. I don't necessarily agree with the concept, but I do agree with we need to provide, as the public defender, Rebecca Sachs, who's running for District 13 court, as she said, there are services that should be provided, that can be provided. And I like to think of America and my city of Las Vegas as the can-do city. You know, when we were in the military, there was nothing that we couldn't do. It was a matter of, do we have the resources to get it done? And it was more like, when were we going to get it done? So when I think of the homeless, people say, Rodney, you're never going to get rid of homeless. That may be true, but I do believe we can reduce the numbers of it, and really we should be striving to do that. That is actually good governance.
And I am impressed with your efforts. It is fantastic work. It will make you cry at night, because you will never, even if you were a millionaire. Some people just like, I remember when I had took an urban planning class, and I remember the homeless community suing a certain city because they tried to take all the open public space. So thinking about, well, where, okay, not under the overpass, not in the park, not in the church parking lot. Where can I be if I don't have a place to be? The shelter is full. And so where can I be? And that's what I would like cities to start addressing. If I don't have a place and you don't have a place, then where can the city, where in the city can I be? In Kansas City, we have a huge park. And most people who don't have any place to be, they take themselves to the park, and they know we in there. And I said we sometimes. They know they're in there, so they put porta potties, you know, scatter porta potties like you do at a park. And the people who have no place to go pull their cars up, and they lay the chair back, and they take a rest. And the city of Kansas City does not send a park ranger around to knock on the door and make these people move. That's the kind of friendliness. You know, that a city can engage in to embrace these people who are having situational and sometimes extreme poverty issues. There's got to be a plan for us, though. There's got to be a plan for us, especially us working poor. You can't keep allowing these people to create real estate that outprices our income. It's not fair. And then relegating us to housing that is substandard, ran by corporations who don't care, and leave us with black mold issues, insufficient appliances, carpet that got mites and dust and stuff in it, refusal to address any leaking water issues. Why is it so hard to address housing and urban development to hold these people accountable. These are the things that force us into the street under the end of underpass, and then now, ew, look at you people, look at us people, and it's a collective us, not just us out here sleeping in our cars, but also y'all sleeping in your overpriced apartment that you know is not worth it, but you're afraid to collectively bargain.
Well, the price of homes and apartments continues to grow because we also have an issue in which we don't build enough housing for our people, which keeps the housing market so high, to be honest with you. I mean, there's plenty of space in America. There's just not enough building going on those spaces, you know. They'll tear down your neighborhood. Go ahead, Ryan.
Okay. Hey, Lee. I got a brother here from the Kappa League, and I wanted him to come on and share who he is, the organization he's representing, and why he's out here. And so if we could take a couple of minutes, maybe 2 or 3 minutes,
is he wearing red and white?
He has his red and white on.
Yeah, who am I talking about?
Okay, then he is a true captain. He is
Lee
a true captain. Okay.
And Lee, I'm going to put him on right now, so here he is, so he can tell you about his red and white.
Okay.
What's
good
going on,
brother? How you doing? Good morning,
well,
brother.
Thank you. Say hello to Sister
Rashid. My name is Quincy. Go ahead, brother. I hear you.
Say hello to Sister Rashid.
Hey, how you doing, brother? How
I've been up all night, and my mustache is mighty thick. I'm gonna take Mr.
Oh, don't do that. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead. Speak on the front.
Okay. My name is Quincy Alexander, Spring 22 Initiative, Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated, the world's greatest fraternity ever made. I'm out here with these wonderful people. Someone had a vision and some foresight to provide some supplies, non-perishables, and we get out and move around in the city to make sure people that don't have today, at least, you know, some for right now anyway. And the organizers of this event are hoping to make this a regular thing as much as possible, which is a great thing. We're over here. Where are we at? We're at Maine and Owens, I think, and servicing a lot of people over in the community. They all have been very thankful, very receptive, and it's a good thing that we're doing here. So praise God to it. I'm out here because the gentleman that is driving for us is a member of my fraternity. And one of the things that we do, you know, a lot of people think when you're in a Greek-letter organization that's all about partying and just networking with each other. But the truth is, that's just a small slice of the relationship. A big part of the relationship is the community service aspect of it. So if there's any time that I can do something to help bless somebody else, because I've been blessed myself. So if I can help somebody else, I'm going to do that. I also have my wife out here with me. She's out here on the sidewalk right now with some people, making sure that they have some provisions as well. She's a member of Delta Sigma Theta. So, sorority incorporated. So we've got a lot of representation from all walks of life. We've got people in politics. We got people. We got teachers. We got people from CCSD out here. It's a lot of good people out here trying to do a lot of good work. That's something I've got to be. Kappa League is part of our national service organization. We take youth from a certain age, I believe it's starting at about 10 years old all the way up through high school, and we try to get them some mentoring, some education. We want to present them as future leaders for our world here. And so we got several of the Kappa Leaguers out here with us today. And in fact, one of the ladies on our bus down here, the young lady at the end, she was just asking me how she can get her son involved in the Kappa League. This was 5 minutes ago, maybe 10. She didn't know that this was an opportunity for her son, so I'm going to put her in touch with the proper people as well. So it's a great day for
Shout out to HBCU. Shout out to HBCU. You can shout out everybody but the school you went to.
So, Hampton University right here, 1997. Okay, I'm from Kansas City, Missouri originally. Came out here to Vegas. Matriculated on through Hampton. Had a great time. I'm a big believer in HBCUs, actually. Everybody thinks that you've got to go to a huge name brand Ivy League school. Even at the junior college and community college level, everybody thinks that you got to go straight to a UNLV. That's great, but go to a CSN. 2 + 2 = 4 wherever you at, you know. And with the way that student loans and the cost of college and things like that, there is a great education and cultural experience that I gained personally by going to a HBCU, and I would definitely encourage other people to take that road as well.
So what do you want the young people to get out of this experience today, those members of the Kappa League and even the other young people that are coming in? What do you want them to get out of today?
What I want them to get out of this is to understand that they are fortunate that they have people in their lives that are working and sacrificing to make sure that they have what they need, and don't forget about those that don't. There are a lot of people that didn't have the opportunities that they have. There's a lot of people that didn't have the opportunity. No, I didn't know anything about a Kappa League or any fraternities, sororities, or organizations that were out here mentoring young people that looked like me when I was that age. So be sure to make sure that's a part of their lives. I want them to make sure that they understand that you kind of have a duty. You know, you kind of have a duty to make sure that your fellow man is taken care of. Help that man out. Help that woman out when you have the opportunity to do so. I'm not going to say take food off of your plate and out of your children's mouths or anything like that. But if you can, and if you have it in your heart, do so.
Right on, you know, Lee. But, hey, this is the quality of people. They say, where are the black men? They're usually in the community doing work like this brother. What's the benefit and values of HBCUs? He just articulated quite a few of them. But it also sort of reinforces that we are not on this planet alone. We just don't go home, and that's it, and to work. Is that we also have a responsibility, though we're being blessed, to use a little bit of our blessings to bless someone else. And just think about how that, we talked about math early and 2 + 2 = 4. Well, imagine that if each one, why do we have that saying, each one reach one, each one teach one, right? How about each one feed one? How about that? And then let that one, when he or she gets on their feet, remember how they were fed, and then passes it on to the next person. Then that eliminates the need without increasing the cost. It also decreases the cost of society, as the candidate running for judge said, in useless and needless incarceration. Remember, a large percentage of our incarcerated population are people who are formerly homeless. Those are the numbers. So we can do a lot in helping our communities out that don't always involve money. Sometimes it does involve a little sweat equity. And if you don't believe us, we in Vegas, baby. And this brother, I think he probably has me about 75 pounds. And he's sweating up a storm, right? But that's sweat equity, that every drop, he's like planting a seed in the ground of a greater harvest to benefit our young people and those people out there in need. So, brother, you know, I just know that you inspired me today. And that's from the heart, brother. From one frat to another, you inspire me. And, you know, let's keep it up. And what I am going to ask you to do, and one of the reasons why I want you to come on the show, is I want people to know that there are brothers working in the community. Don't always talk about it. Don't always brag about it. They just be about it. And so for people like me who have a platform, I can do that bragging for you. And so today, I'm going to designate today unofficially, because I don't have that type of power, but on this bus today, this is Kappa Day. And this is Kappa working in the community. So to leave. I just wanted to share a little bit of our wealth, because wealth is not just money. Wealth is in this brother's heart. It's in this equity that he's producing today. So I don't know how long I'm going to be able to hang out, because I do want to do some Facebook where we can post it up so you all can see the work instead of just hearing us talk about it. I'm talking, they're sweating and they're handing out food, and the people are thankful to receive this food. What I would ask everyone to do was think about what it would be like if you had to watch your child go all day without eating. I just want you to think about that for a moment. How would that make you feel? How would that make you feel? How would that make your child feel that when they looked at their mommy or their daddy and know that their mommy and daddy couldn't help them? But then how would it make that parent feel to know that their child is looking for them for that next meal that they cannot provide, that today may not be tomorrow, but today that child will have a full stomach because of the brothers and sisters on the food distribution bus? We don't have an official name yet. And those of you who are listening, go to my Facebook page, go to Real Radio's Facebook page, go to our YouTube page, you know, all social media, Twitter, and tell us, what should we call this? What should we call this endeavor that we're doing today? Because it does need to have a name. And, you know, a big shout out to you, Lee, for providing the platform for us this morning. And I'll pass it on back to you folks.
Well, it looks like we might be a little busy, and I am so happy to hear all the excitement in your voice. One of the things that the young brother said was about what these organizations we are joining are for. Yes, the network is there. That's how he knew to come to the get on the bus, as they say. He knew his brother let him know to get on the bus, and being able to put somebody on to a place where there's help is a major part of the, you know, urban, I call it the urban community, the street community. What we do share with each other is where there is food that is frozen, where there is food that is edible at that time. We have two places in Kansas City where you can get a lunch. They'll give you a lunch, and then they ask anybody who can pay, they ask you to pay. But if you can't pay, they give you a lunch at the end of the day anyway. Whatever they have left, it goes out anyway. So there's no, you may have to wait, but you do not have to walk away without a meal. You know what I'm saying? They gather the money for the next meal from those who are willing to pay for the meal. It's a fantastic plan. And for so, and it's worked now for almost 10 years. Those kind of city planning ideas are what we need in order to support this community. And that's what it's all about. Lee.
You know, Sister Rossi, I don't know if you heard the brother say, but I don't know if he's exactly in your Kansas City, Missouri, but the brother Quincy did say he was from Kansas City, Missouri, and right now he's out. We're at another a little tent city on just the side of the freeway. I mean, it's like you ride and drive on, and you will run into these folks, and the brothers and the sisters are out distributing food again, and hopefully making a difference in these people's lives. You know, I don't want folks to think that we're just out here today and we're trying to do a good deed, and that's it. This is what's in these people's hearts. They just, you know, a lot of people are looking for opportunity to serve and to make a difference. And so for those of you who are out there and you say, well, where is this person or why aren't there more people? Sometimes you have to let them know what's going on. I know you're doing it from your heart, so you just go and do, which is fine. But if you do want more people to be with you, you kind of have to highlight. You don't have to highlight what you're doing. You just highlight what work is going to be, that needs to be done, and that you're going to be a part of. And see, and you will rally people out, just like Brian Harris. And again, big shout out to Brian Harris for providing the bus and reaching out to his Kappa brothers. And, you know, we got the Deltas, you know, we got the Ancients representing here. You know, we have other groups represented. This is a community thing, and we have people of different cultures, we different genders, different religions. This is community right here. This is how it should be. And I have to admit, I'm a little, hey, Sister Rasha, I'm a little proud to be a part of this today.
A little. I'm so proud listening to it. I'm proud listening to it. Now, here's my, here's what I want to know. Is there a supplemental plan after we deliver the food, like you say? Are there flyers for where they can get dental services or medical services? Is there any, you know, food stamp counseling or anything of that sort? Are they following through at all with the secondary needs that happen when you're dealing with this, you know, overexploited population?
So, Rossi, what we believe in is the first thing, you have to meet the people where they are, and you have to develop a relationship with them. In other words, you have to get them to trust you. And once you get them to trust you, they are more willing to do those things, to go to those places, and believe that you're really offering them help instead of, in some cases, you know, believe it or not, sometimes people come out here and it leads them to further incarceration or to other things that they don't necessarily want. So today really is all about just feeding the people. We figure that one of the, you know, the basic needs of people is to have something to drink. And remember, 114 degrees here in Vegas, baby, is to have something to drink and to have something to eat. And once you give them something to drink and something to eat and they see that they're here for you, then they're more likely to trust you with other things. So today, that's not really our focus. But as this program develops, and we hope that we'll continue to be able to do this, we can add those types of things to it.
Yeah,
I wanted to ask a question. So you said it's truly a communal effort. That's what's up. This is what. Again, tying it back to where we started with the show, this is what the president talked about last night, where we the people. This is a situation in which everyone has rolled up their sleeves and said, you know, we're going to take on this challenge and we're going to meet this challenge head on versus constantly pushing it under the rug or pushing it to the side. And as you said, Rodney, earlier, making the homeless feel as though or becoming other than human. And I applaud you and everybody else that's out today making this effort, because it is not something that's going to go away. People will continue to face challenges as we listed earlier, health issues, job security issues, housing issues, whatever your case may be, mental health issues, drug dependency issues. And it's just nice to know that there are still good people out here. There's still good people out here willing to put themselves on the front line to help them out. That's all I want to say.
You know, Lee, one of the things that I've experienced, and I've been in this type of life and in this type of environment, is I don't know if I've ever shared with you all that when I was in the military, I used to go to Einstein Bagels on Tuesday evening right before they would close. And, you know, because Einstein Bagels, they bake stuff fresh every day. But at the end of the night, whatever they had baked up, they threw away because they couldn't use it the next day. And when I found out about that, I asked them if I could come and get it and take it to one of the shelters and one of the rescue missions. And they said, sure. Lee, I think it was 7.6 tons of food that we were able to give away. And I say we because I asked the question, and I just want to show you how contagious this can be in a good way. But some of my coworkers, these were civil service workers at the Air Force Base, saw what I was doing, and they said, hey, well, I live so-and-so, and there's an Einstein Bagels near me. Would it be okay if I asked them and bring in some, you know, bring the food to you, Rodney, so you can distribute it? And I said, well, sure. And we had three different Einstein Bagel locations on multiple days giving us food that we could take and give to the local rescue mission, who in turn would feed the people with it. And I want to tell you, one of the most touching things that I saw was I came in right before dinner time, and I had 55-gallon bags. I think I had like 3 55-gallon bags of food. And this, some of this food was freshly baked, because if it's at the end of their shift, the end of the night, they're literally had me waiting some time for food to come out the oven, fresh bread and stuff that they put in these bags that I could give away. And I want to point this out to you, because there was, I still remember there was a mom, and she had one toddler and she had one child in the stroller, and they walked into the mission and they got fed. And before they left, that food, those 3 55-gallon bags of food that I had just bought in, the mission had made paper bag lunches for them to take with them. And Lee, I actually saw this woman with one in the stroller and one toddler. I saw she had a bag for herself. The toddler was carrying a bag and was eating some fruit and, you know, snacking on it. And then there was a bag for the one that was in the stroller. And though they didn't have a place to stay that night, they didn't have to go to bed hungry. And when they woke up the next day, they could wake up to food versus wondering how was she going to feed her children and herself. And that lit a fire under me that says, in the one of the wealthiest countries on the planet, literally the food basket of the world, we can do better to ensure that nobody goes hungry at night in this country, and at least in this city.
Robbie, are you aware of the psychological concept of the 9 missed meals?
Please share.
They say that humans become quite desperate after 9 events of hunger. After 9, pretty much consecutive events of hunger where they need, you know, basic human sustenance and they're not getting it, they become quite desperate, and they do, it's a part of what they were able to legislate against us with when they emancipated black people but did not provide us with the reparational funds, you know, other than whatever the Freedmen Bureau did back in the day. So you would get these free but extremely hungry African descendants out in the world looking, begging for work, being denied, and they would see somebody, you know what I'm saying? And so they would steal a chicken, and that became so prevalent, an act of desperation within our community, that they were able to start making cartoons and then and laughing about it, and then making it illegal where you have to go to prison and work for free again. You know what I'm saying? You get to get loaned out again. So that act of desperation, not only does it make you steal from establishments, it makes you predatory on your own kind, on your own people, when you have consecutive acts of need, consecutive events of not being able to get what you need as a human being. And so while it does make your heart warm and you make your belly all warm in the butterflies, it also stops us from creating a band of seriously desperate people who will commit fraud, steal debit cards, you know, whatever it takes in order to get their children warm, in order to get their children fed, in order to get themselves, able to deal with society as it is being brought to them. Thank you, Mr. Rodney. Thank you so much for looking after the people of Las Vegas, especially those who don't have, because those are now not people who are ready to come in and get what they need by any means necessary. And that's what happens after 9 consecutive events of need.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Sister Rossi. As you all know, this is my birthday weekend. Whenever there's Labor Day, it's around my birthday. So probably the best gift that I'm getting this birthday is the ability to give to someone else. And it's not taking anything away from me. And I was thinking, man, do I want to get up? Because Brian wanted us there at 5 o'clock. I told him I couldn't make it at 5. But he wanted us there at 5 o'clock. And I said, is that the way I want to spend my birthday? And not at 5 o'clock, but it is the way I want to spend my birthday, because I thought that the best gift for me today was the gift of giving to somebody else and sharing. So I appreciate you all for allowing me on the show today and allowing me to share what's going on in Las Vegas. It is definitely not just hotels, casinos, and it used to be buffets before they shut them down for the coronavirus pandemic. But there are people who actually live in Vegas, and there is a need, like in most other cities. But I truly believe that we can, if not eradicate hunger, and we can minimize it, and in doing so, we can also decrease crime, decrease violence that comes from crime, which also leads to decreased incarceration, which means that people have an opportunity to be contributors to society and not people who are always going to be on the system, because as we all know, once you go to the big house, your life potential will have been lessened, and it's only the few that can truly relive their lives and make a life for them after they've been incarcerated. So the simple act of feeding people, we always talk about violence is actually at record lows in Las Vegas, but there's still some, and some of it does come from people who are housing insecure as well as those who are food insecure. And this is a way that we can decrease violence. We can decrease crime. We actually decrease the burden on taxpayers for having to have all of these people go through the court, the judicial system. Then when they convicted, housing them, it costs like $110 a day just to be in county lockup. Can you imagine somebody being in county lockup because of hunger? We don't have to do that here. And I believe that we're going to stop it. At least we're going to mitigate it here in Las Vegas. And I guess that's pretty much all that I have to say as far as something. That's all I have to say about that. Did you guys have any other questions or comments for us on this end?
No, I just want to thank our guests. I wanted to do the same thing.
I wanted to do the same thing, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to everybody from the Divine Nine and all the other organizations that got themselves up. The young people for getting up extra early in the morning. No foresight for them last night, I guess. No, I don't even know. What are they, the PS5, I guess, are they playing? I was about to say Nintendo. Well, you know I'm old. No PS5 for them last night, I guess, but that's a good thing. They out here making the difference in the world, and that'll feed them and give them a greater sense of pride than any daggone video game. So thanks, Sam. Thank you. All right, that's all I got.
All right. Well, thank you again, Sister Rossi, for your wise words, and thank you, Brother Lee, for providing the platform.
No, thank you, Rossi, you
had something to say before we got out? You had something to say, Rossi?
Now I'm jealous. I gotta find my way to get my head right. You know what I'm saying? I gotta find my way of reaching out. That's what bothers most people. how am I going to make my, you know, how am I going to get on the bus? Who can I help? Now, right now, most of us are helping by housing somebody who can't afford it. That's a big help. Some of us go check on people and give them medical or whatever advice that they could never afford because they don't want to get nobody in their business. We all doing something, Lee. I have added my career to the list, but it's not necessarily as enriching as reaching out to the homeless because I feel like I'm one of them. Somebody need to come reach out to me anyway. But we have a job. Did you hear Rodney say we all have a job, right?
We all
have to be looking, you know, for someone who needs us and just give them just a little help. Somebody's going to do that for you. You're going to do that for them. They're going to do that for somebody else. And now when you don't look for yours, you break the chain. You break the chain of secureness for within a society. So by us being selfishly and not having our, you know, proper mentor networking or whatever, like Mr. Rodney is doing now, we break the chain. You know what I'm saying?
I do. All right. Well, look, family, thank you all for listening live. Thank you all for listening later. That's all we got on this end. We are roughly a month away from our 10th year anniversary. It is October 6th. We are going to do it up something big. Again, next week, God willing, the creeks don't rise. I'll be sitting in London doing the show, watching Big Ben, if I'm not hungover, but that's a different show for this time. Until then, though, you all be good. You all be safe. It's Virgo season, baby.